We are beginning Masechta Shabbos on Daf Samech Hamed Aleph, two lines from the top of the Amud, with the words of Moichshe Ba'ozna. These words are taken from the Mishnah on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Beis, where we learned that a woman may go out on Shabbos with a Moichshe Ba'ozna. Rashi in the Mishnah interprets, Shenaisenes Levloya Lecha Shaltsoya Soizen. She places some absorbent material in her ear, which absorbs the wax when it runs. Says the Gemara, Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Vehu Shekosher Ba'ozna, that when is it permitted for the woman to go out with the Moichshe Ba'ozna? Only if it's tied up, because otherwise we're afraid that it might fall out, and she'll come to carry a Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. So it has to be tied up. Continues the Mishnah, Uvemoich Shabbosandalo. As Rashi explained in the Mishnah, that it was done l'tainug, that here it was done to make the shoe more comfortable, and again, Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Vahu Shekosher L'Basandalo. Again, it has to be tied up in her sandal, this inner soul, of this wad of material that makes the shoe more comfortable has to be tied up in her sandal, because otherwise we're afraid that it will fall out and she'll come to carry it Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim, which is the same reason for the Moichshe Ba'ozna. And then the Mishnah continues. By the way, the Ritva says that if in fact she has a full shoe, it's not a sandal, and then you do not have a chashash that it may fall out, that in Echanami, she can go out with the Moichshe Ba'sandla without it being tied up, because then there's no chashash. Continues the Mishnah, Ubemoich Shehiskinaso lo lenidosa. And here, Rashi tells us in the Mishnah, the Lashon of Rashi is, Ba'oisei Mokim, that she attaches something to the Mokim Erva, Sheyivla Boyadam, that the dam should be absorbed in it, Velo Yitanet Bigadeo, and her Bigadim should not become dirty from the dam, so she's allowed to go out with that wad of absorbent material on Shabbos. Sover Rami Bar Chama Lameimer. So Rami Bar Chama was of the opinion, he wanted to say, V'hu shekshur la ben yurei chaseo. Just like the Moichshe Ba'ozna has to be tied to her ear, and the Moichshe Ba'sandal has to be tied to the sandal, hu adin, that the Moich of, that she prepared for the Dam Nidus, that also has to be tied up to her thighs, so that it will not fall down, and she'll come to carry a Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim. That's what he thought. Amar Rava, so Rava said, no. Afal pi she'ein a kosher law. Here, it's different. The Moichshe Hiskinula Linidosa is different than the Moichshe Basandla or the Moichshe Ba'ozna. Here, even if it's not tied up, we're not worried that she'll come to carry a Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim. Why? What's the Svara? Kiven de Mois, since it is repugnant, it's disgusting. Loi Asil Yisuya. What's the Chashash? Maybe it's going to fall down and she's going to come to pick it up. She won't come to pick it up in, concerning the Moich Sheskinas Lalin Nidasa. Boy, Mine Rabbi Yirmiya Mir Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Yirmiya had a question from Rabbi Abba. What is the halacha if she puts on to the moich, which she prepared? Linidasa, she put on a handle. So now, perhaps, if it's not tied to her thighs, it might fall down, and she may come to pick it up because it has a handle to it. What's the din there? Is that mutter or usser with a handle? Amalei mutter, he said, even in that case, it's still so disgusting and repugnant that even with a handle, if it falls down, we're not worried that she's going to pick it up, and therefore it's mutter without it being tied on. Itmor Nami, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Oishia, Amar Rav Yochanan. We learned like this also. The Rav Nachman Bar Oishia said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Asa Sola Beis Yad, Mutter, if she made a Beis Yad to this Moich Sheskinu Lal Nidasa, it is Mutter, and it does not have to be tied on. Now the Gemara relates a story concerning Rav Yochanan and Rav Yanai. Rav Yochanan, Nafik Behu Bei Medrasha. Rashi says that Rabbi Yochanan went out with a moich sheba oznai. He went out with a moich in his ear. He had a wad, let's say, of cotton in his ear. And Rashi says, Shehoya Zakin, he was an old man at this time when the story takes place. He had a lot of wax that was in his ear, and he went out, and it was not tied up. V'chalukin olav chaveirav, and his friends disagreed with this practice of Rabbi Yochanan to go out on Shabbos without it being tied up. Rabbi Yannai, not for Bula Karmas, Rabbi Yannai went out again with a moich in his ear, and he went out into a Carmelis on Shabbos, and it was not tied up. The Chalukin Olav, Kol Doiroi. And here, not just his Chaverim, but the entire generation took exception with Rabbi Yannai walking out without the moich Shaboizen being tied up to his ear. And the Gemara, in fact, asks, V'hatani Rami Bayecheskel, V'husha Kasher Labozna. How could they have gone out? The simple pshat of the Gemara is that this is a question both on Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yannai and both of their practices. How could they, in fact, go out without it being tied up when Rami Bar Yecheskel learned that it has to be tied up? V'husha kasher lo ba'ozna. The Gemara answers, loy kasha, it is not difficult. Hod mehadik, hod loy mehadik. That in the case of Rami Bar Yecheskel, where it was usser unless it's tied up, that was speaking about it was not stuck in very tightly into the ear. So therefore, Rami Bar Yecheskel said, we're afraid it's going to fall out unless it's tied to the ear. However, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yannai, it was stuck in very tightly into the ear, and therefore they felt that it was not necessary to tie it up. The B'nai Doirai and the Chaveirav disagreed, but at least we understand why they did not act like Rabbi Bar Yecheskel to tie it up. This would be the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. But if you look in Rashi, and Divri Amaskel Hadim Mahadik, Rashi says, the Rabbi Yochanan Hayatoichev Ba'azna Yafa Umahadik. He says, Rabbi Yochanan's Moich Shabbaizen was put in very tightly. V'loi Boik Shiri didn't have to tie it to his ear. Uda Rami Bar Yecheskel B'loi Mahadik. And Rami Bar Yecheskel was a case where it was not put in tightly. You'll notice Rashi only says Rabbi Yochanan. He doesn't say Rabbi Yannai. So it would seem from Rashi that Rashi is learning that the question and the answer of the Gemara was specifically on Rabbi Yochanan. It was not on Rabbi Yannai. The Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, how could he go out without the Moich Shabbaizen being tied up to his ear? And the Gemara answers, because it was put in very tightly. And in fact, the Ritva learns like this Beferish. The Ritva says that Rabbi Yochanan's was put in tightly and not tied up, and Rabbi Yannai's, he says, was neither tied up nor was it put in tightly. And that's why it makes a beautiful diuk that the Gemara says when Rabbi Yochanan went out without it being tied up, but it was put in tightly, who protested? Who didn't he find favor? He didn't find favor in the eyes of his friends. But the rest of the world understood what he did. His friends felt that he shouldn't have gone out that way. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Yannai, who went out with it neither being tied up, nor with it being put in tightly, there it says, Chalukin Olav Kol Doiroi. The entire generation took exception. How could he do such a thing to go out? That, in fact, was against Rami Bar Yecheskel. It was neither tied up nor was it put in tightly, and the whole generation took exception with that practice.
So the Lokash is going to Rabbi Yochanan?
That's right. According to Rashi and the Ritva, the whole Lokash is only, that's why you see Rashi only says Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't mention Rabbi Yannai. Continues the Mishnah, Bepilpel ubegalgal melech. And the lashon of the Mishnah was Bepilpel ubegalgal melech v'chol dover shenisenes l'toich piha. With a pilpul, which is a long peppercorn, Rashi in the Mishnah says, pilpul oruch naisenis isha bepia sharecha ro. A woman who has bad breath puts in this long peppercorn in her mouth because of her problem with bad breath. And then also a galgal melech is a lump of salt, which we're going to see in a minute that was used for medicinal purposes. And everything else that's put in the mouth, the Gemara is going to explain what are we including with the words everything else. But then the Mishnah adds one condition, Ubilvad Shaloi Titain Lechatchila B'Shabbos. She shouldn't put it into her mouth Lechatchila. In other words, if before Shabbos she already had it in her mouth, she can go out with it on Shabbos. But Lechatchila, to put it into her mouth, she's not allowed to do that on Shabbos. if you learn the Tosfos on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, Divrei HaMashgil Bulvad, Tosfos brings down two reasons why Lechatchila she should not go out with these things on Shabbos. The first reason is from Rabbeinu Harav Rav Pares. Rav Pares says, Gzeira Mishum Schika Samemonim, Kivin L'Refuahu, that since these are all kinds of medicinal items, so therefore we know that Refuah is also, unless a person is a Chayla Sheyesh Bar Sakana, but regular medicine should not be taken on Shabbos because there's a danger a person may come to take herbs and grind them up and be ivory surim of on Shabbos. So therefore, they assert things of refuah. So therefore, here also, you shouldn't take out all these medicinal items. You shouldn't put it in your mouth on Shabbos l'chatchila. If you have it in your mouth, you're allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos because it's for the purpose of your guf. But to put it into your mouth to begin with on Shabbos, not allowed. That's the reason of Rabbeinu Pores. And Tosfos himself says a different reason. The reason is because it looks like you're cheating. You want to transport something from one place to the other, so you find out all kinds of methods to transport it legally with a loophole, and people will suspect that you really want to transport it. You don't want it for any other reason but to bring it from point A to point B. And Tosfos says if that's the reason, then not only will it apply to the last group, which is the Pilpil and the Galgal Melech and the Chol Dover Shenitin L'Toch Piyah, but even to the other cases of the Moich Sheba Oizen or the Moich Sheba Sandala, even there also that would be included in the Gzeira. Don't put it L'chatchila into your shoe or into your ear because it looks like a harama. If you have it in already, you can go out with it, but you shouldn't put it L'chatchila. That's what Tosfos says. And the reason I'm mentioning this Tosfos is because in a moment we're going to see Rabbi Kiva Eger has a strong question here. Let us see the Gemara first. Says the Gemara, Bepilpul, Begalgal Melech, Pilpul, what's the purpose of a pilpul, of this long peppercorn? The answer is, L'reach HaPeh, it's done for bad breath, that this helped the problem of bad breath. What's Galgal Melech? What is that used for? L'dor Sheni. What's Dor Sheni? Says Rashi, L'chayle Hashanayim, that a person has a sickness, a disease of the teeth, and he uses the lump of salt to help him with that disease. V'chol Dover Sheni Senes
L'toich. This is not only for women.
That's correct. That's correct. That's right. Many things that are written here in these Mishnayos are not necessarily for women. It's just that, for example, in the next Mishnah, the first case, Yoitza Besela Shalatzinis, you could go out with a coin that's put on a blister on your foot. That does not only apply to a woman, it applies to a man as well. Except since the Perek is by Me'isha, is speaking about those things that apply to a woman. So it puts it in terms of a woman. Continues the Mishnah, V'chol Dover Shnei Senes L'Toch Piyah. What does that include? Everything that she puts in her mouth, that includes Zang Bila, which is ginger, Inami Dertsoina, which is cinnamon. Rashi says, Dertsoina Kinnamon, that's cinnamon. So again, these are things used in this case for medicinal therapeutic purposes. So Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Tosfos, Rabbi Kiva Mishnayos asks a very strong question on Rabbeinu Pores. What was Rabbeinu Pores' reason? That you shouldn't l'chatchila put it in your mouth on Shabbos because of the gzeir of Schika Samemonim, that we don't do refuas on Shabbos. So he says, I understand Dorsheni, that's a disease of the teeth. I understand ginger and cinnamon as well. I don't understand pilpil, because pilpil is peppercorn, was used for what the Gemara says, bad breath. He brings a tosefta, and that's gepaskin lahalacha, that bad breath, things that are used for bad breath, are not considered lirafua. That's not considered medicinal. That's, we have a psak like that in Hilchos Shabbos. If so, it's a big kasha on Rabbeinu Pores, because according to Rabbeinu Pores, the whole last group, pilpil and galgul melech and chol dover shenitin l'toch piyah, that's all included in the gzeira of a bulvad shola yititin l'chatchil b'shabbos. If the tosefta, and that's the psak, that it's not medicinal, so why in fact should I not not be able to put in my mouth a pilpul for bad breath, l'chatchila on Shabbos. According to the second pshat of Tosfos, that it's harama, so that refers to all the things that I put in my mouth, I put in my sandal, I put in my ear, we understand it. But according to Rabbeinu Paras, it is difficult, and Rabbi Kiva Eger remains with a tzorech ian. Continues the Gemara, Shen Toiseves Shen Shelzov, a false tooth made out of gold. We have a machloikis in the Mishnah between Rebbe and the Chacham. Rebbe Matir. Rebbe says that it is permitted to have that in your mouth on Shabbos and to go out with it into the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. The Chachamim Oishim. The Chachamim prohibited. What is the swara of both Rebbe and the Chachamim? So the swara is that the Chachamim say it's Osir because the woman may take out her false gold tooth and show it to someone. On the other hand, Rebbe says, no, it's mutter. Why? Because if she takes it out of her mouth, she shows everyone that she has a missing tooth. There's a hole there. It's embarrassing. And she, for an embarrassment, she's not going to show her friend, oh, you know, I have a lump of gold in my mouth, because she's going to be embarrassed. And therefore, we don't have to worry that she's going to carry it for Amos and the Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rab Zeira, Loishanu El Shelzov. When do you have the machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim? That's only if it's a false tooth that's made out of gold. Avol b'shel kesev, but if it's a false tooth made out of silver, divrei hakol mutter. There even the Chachamim would agree to Rebbe that it's mutter. Why? Because silver is not chashiv. That's the way Rashi has a pshat here from his rabbis of his rebbeim, but he likes better this pshat, that the simple chilek between zov and kesev is zov is worth a lot of money, so she would want. That's what the Chachamim feel, that her pride of looking that she's like a rich woman, that she has gold in her mouth, that will outweigh her embarrassment. And Rebbe's svar is that the embarrassment will outweigh her being able to show that she has a piece of gold. But when it comes to silver, that's not worth that much. So there, certainly the Chachamim agree that the embarrassment of showing that she has a false tooth will outweigh the showing off of the silver, and therefore she's not going to take it out of her mouth, and we don't have to worry that she's going to carry dalet av b'shus rabim according to divrei hakol, according to everyone. Tanya nami hachi, we learned like this in the Brice as well. B'shal kasef divrei hakol mutter. If she has a false tooth made out of silver, even the chachamim agree to Rebbe that it's mutter. Shel zav, but if it's made out of gold, then you have a machloikis between Rebbe and the chachamim. Rebbe matter, Rebbe says it's mutter, and chachamim oisrin. Amar Abaye said that Rebbe v'Rab Eliezer v'Rab Shimon ben Elazar, these three Tanoim, kulu svirulhu, all three go with the same opinion. What is the opinion? The Cholmidi, the Meganya Bey, anything that she would be embarrassed by it, loy asya la'achve, she's not going to show it to anyone. Rebbe Hodamorn. Rebbe is what we just said concerning the tooth of gold, that Rebbe says she will not take it out of her mouth to show it to her friend because she'll be embarrassed. Rabbi Eliezer, Disanya, we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Poiter, Bekoibeles, Ubitzluche Shel Plaiton. Rabbi Eliezer said that a woman who goes out wearing a bundle of spices, or tzeluchah shel plaiton is a flask of balsam oil, and what is the reason she's carrying it out in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Because she has body odor. She's using it as a deodorant. It is mutter for her to do it. Rabbi Lezer's lashon is poiter, which would seem to be a bidiyevet. She's poiter if she does it, but Rashi brings down that in fact we learned that it doesn't mean just it's mutter bidiyevet, but it means it's mutter lechatchila. Why? Because Rabbi Lezer says, what are you afraid of? She's going to go and show it to her friend. If she goes and shows it to her friend, she's revealing to her friend that she has a problem with her bad body odor. She's going to be embarrassing herself. She's not going to want to do that, and therefore we don't have to worry that maybe she'll take it off and show it to her friend and carry four Amos Shus Rab. So Rabbi Eliezer is going exactly with the same idea that Rebbe went with, that the gold tooth is permitted because she's not going to take out her gold tooth because of embarrassment. And finally, Rab Shimon ben Elazar is also the third Tana who goes with the same opinion. Rab Shimon Elazar, the Sani, we learned in the Brisa, we've had this before. Klal Amar Rab Shimon Elazar. Rab Shimon Elazar said the following rule. Kol shehu lamata min ha svacha, whatever is underneath the hat, Rashi says, Kigoin Kippa Shotzemer, they had an ornamental woolen cap that was worn under the hat. So could she go out with that cap? Shimon ben Elazar says, yes, she may, because it's under her hat. And what are you afraid of? She may want to show her friend her ornamental cap, but by doing that, she'd have to be revealing her hair, and it's a bizoyan for a woman to reveal her hair, and therefore we're not afraid that she will do that. But however, if it's lamata min asvacha yoytze boy, but if it's lamala min asvacha, but if it's above her hat, and it's not attached to her hat, and it's above her hat, then we're afraid that in fact she may take it off, because she won't have any embarrassment from her revealed hair, so she may show this to her friend, she may walk with a dalet ames, and ain't a yaitzeh, but then she's not allowed to go out with it into the rishus harabim. So these three tanoim all go with the same opinion, that anything that she's embarrassed about, we're not afraid that she'll take it off to show it to her friend. And she's allowed to go out with it to Rishus Rab. However, la halacha, we paskin like the chachamim in our Mishnah, that a woman with a gold false tooth is usher, she's not allowed to go out with it into the Rishus Rabim, because we are afraid that she will remove it from her mouth and show it to her friend and walk with it dalet ames, Rishus Rabim. If it's attached, then she can't do it. But we're saying this would be a loose tooth that you're able to remove. One should not go out with that into the Rishus Rabim.
Has a loose tooth? Hmm? Child growing up has a loose tooth.
No, a loose would be loose would mean something that is not attached in any way. Continues the Mishnah. And also, as correct, it would also only be it's a gold tooth. It's something that she would want to show. Something that it's silvery. We learned even silver is permitted because there's no reason to show it. Continues the Mishnah. Yoitza besela shala tzinis. A woman is allowed to go out with a coin that is tied onto a wound. Let's say the woman has a blister. As we said, who would din if a man would have a blister on his foot? It would be the same din. A man or a woman can go out with this coin tied onto the wound. And because it's done for the comfort that of her suffering from the blister, so she is allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Habonois tanois, the young girls, yoitzois bechutin, they're allowed to go out with threads. Rashi explains that the girls had their ears pierced, but they weren't old enough yet to have earrings. But they were worried that the parents were worried the skin would grow back. So in order to make sure that the hole would remain a hole without the skin growing back, they would put threads through their those holes. They're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Why? Because there's no reason to prohibit it. We had before in the Perek that certain items, we had a fear that it would be a chatzitza for tevila, and there would be a tevilas mitzvah, and the woman would come to remove them because of the chatzitza for mikveh, and therefore she'd come to carry dalet ames b'rishus harabim. But that doesn't apply here because these chutin, the water can get through it. It's not a chatzitza. The other chash might be she wants to show off and wants to show it to a friend. That doesn't apply here as well because these are not decorative chutin. We'll see in the Gemara, in fact, when it is a decorative chutin, a thread which she might want to show to a friend, then in fact it is usher. She's not. But these are non-decorative chutim, so therefore there's no reason to prohibit it. She's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Vafilu bekismin, and even if it's splinters of wood that are put into the holes, and there may be a chash of chitzitza, because it's a harder time for the water to get through. Even there, we say that the water could get through. There's no problem with chitzitza. We're not worried maybe she's going to come to take it out and it should be a chitzitza, and she's going to come to carry dalet ames b'rishus harabim. So they're allowed to go out with the chutn, afilu bekismin, shebaz name, that are in their ears. Arvi, as Rashi says, is Nashim Yisraelis Shabarav, that Jewish women who live in Arabia, Yoitzois Reulois, they are allowed to go out Reulois. What does Reulois mean? Says Rashi, Derech Arvios, the way of their Arabic women, it used to be and it still is in many Arab countries, Liois Mu'utafois, that they are veiled, roishan upneim, their heads and their faces, chutzman and naim, except for their eyes. That's the only part that is revealed. So even though for a Jewish woman one would say that this is not the usual garb that they wear, but the chiddush of the mission is that in those lands it's considered the regular garb, and therefore they're allowed to wear it. And in fact, the Mishnah later is going to say in a few words further that actually every person, even if you're not in Arabia, if you want to dress that way, that's considered a malbush, and you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Umidoyes, women who live in Modai, in Media, which was a province of Poros of Persia, their meaning was to go out prufois. What does prufois mean? So Rashi says a klal. Kol ha-mechaber beged l'chaveri kori prifa. Whenever you attach a garment one end to the other, that's called prifa. How did these women go out with this garment? This Rashi calls it a talus. This is they enwrapped themselves in a cloak. And how did they keep the cloak all around their body? They would have on one side they would have a strap, and on the other side, on the right side there was a strap, and on the left side they would create a makeshift button. They didn't have a button on there, but they created a bulge. They took a small pebble or a coin or a nut, as we'll see further in the Mishnah, and they put it into the material, and that created a bulge, and then they took the leather strap on the other side and wound it around that bulge, and that's the way that they kept the garment together. So you're allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Women, Jewish women living in Modai, and the Mishnah continues, v'chol adam. Really, every person is allowed to go out this way. Elo shedibru chacham b'hoiva. The Chachamim spoke in what was usual, prevalent at that time, and that was that it was Jewish women who were living in the land of Madai. But actually, anybody can go out in this way on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah continues, Poirefes al ha'evin v'al ha'egois v'al ha'medbeya. She's allowed to make this bulge, and that's going to be the bulge where she fastens the other side, which has the strap that's going to wind itself around the bulge. She's allowed to make the bulge with a even, a stone, a egois, a nut, valamid beya, and a coin. So the Gemara understands this phrase of the Mishnah. We'll see this on Amud Beis. The Gemara understands that it means the chatchila she's allowed to do it. Because if you're telling me that she can go out with it, you already said that a line earlier. What's your chiddush now in the next line? Pyrefis alav. It means you can make up this makeshift contraption on Shabbos, and you can go out with it on Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah. But then the Mishnah concludes, ubelvad shaloi tifreif l'chatchil b'Shabbos. The next words say, no, but l'chatchil, you're not allowed to do this. The Gemara is going to ask, you seem to contradict yourself from one line to the other. The Gemara is going to answer that this last phrase is speaking about one of the items that was mentioned before, and that is matbeya, because a matbeya is muktzah. So therefore, since a matbeya is muktzah, l'chatchila, you shouldn't make up this makeshift bulge using a matbeya. But if you had it made up already, if you were wearing it from before Shabbos, you can go out onto the street with it on Shabbos. However, an even or an egois is certainly not muktzah, not, it's royal achila. An even, Rashi tells us on matbeyas, if you think to use an even before Shabbos, you're miyachid and I want to use it for a certain purpose, also it's not muktzah. So those you could do l'chatchila this on Shabbos if you were miyachid the even before Shabbos. Matbeya l'char not matbeya, since a coin, that's be'etza. That's right, it can't be miyachid, it's be'etza muktzah. Continues the Gemara, my tzinis, what is tzinis? We said in the Mishnah that the woman is allowed to go out with a coin, a sela, which means Rashi says a matbeya, tied onto a tzinis. What is a tzinis? The Gemara answers basara. This means it's a wound on the sole of the foot. There's a blister there, and she's allowed to go out with that coin tied up to the blister. Umayshna sela. So why, in fact, do we use for this a coin? why not something else? Ilei mekol midi de uksha mali lo. If you want to say, because a coin is hard, and that's good for the blister if she has this hard thing there. So why do you need a coin? Freit the Gemara. Le'evid lo chaspa. Take a shard, take a piece of earthenware, and put that around the wound. That's also hard. The Gemara says, elamishum shuchsa, must be because the coin creates moisture, whereas the cheres, the chaspa, there's no moisture, and you need moisture also. So if that's the reason, because you're looking for moisture, la'avid latasa, you still don't need a coin. You could take some silver-plated item and put it there, and it's hard, and it has moisture as well. What do you need the matbeah? So Gemara says, elamishum tsurasa, must be that you're using specifically a matbeah, because a matbeah has etched into it a form, it has some design, and it was the belief, the Rajba says this in a tshuva, that people believed that the coins that had images on it were therapeutic. So if that's the reason, levit ba la pulsa, you could take a bit of wood and have a tsura etched out into the piece of wood, and you'll use that. Why do you use bedafka matbeah? Amar Abaye, shmami no kula malin la. The reason I take a matbeah is because it has all the milas. It's hard, plus you have moisture, plus it has a tsura in it. All three things together make it the ideal item to use as a therapeutic device for the blister. Continues the Mishnah, Habonos Yoytzeis Bechutin. The Mishnah said that the girls can go out with these threads through their ears. The Gemara tells us, however, that Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, instituted three takonos in his house. He didn't make this public, but for his own daughters, he instituted three things. The first one was, Loi Shaviklu Lebante, did not allow his daughters, the Nafki Bechutti, that they should go out with these chutim in their ears. And the Gemara is going to explain each of the three things, why he instituted them. The second thing that he instituted was, Veloi Shaviklu Geniyan Gabi Adadi. He did not allow that they should sleep in one bed near each other. And the third takana was va'avid lu mikvois b'yayim in Nissan. That in Nissan he did not allow them, as we'll see on Amud Beis, to use the Nahar Paras, the Euphrates, to go to the mikveh, to go to be tovel themselves. Rather, he made a mikveh of water in Yom Nissan, umefatzi b'yom Tishrei. In Yom Tishrei, he allowed them to use the Euphrates, the Nahar Pras. But then, as Rashi explains, he was afraid that they would get a chatzitz, they would get dirt on their feet from the banks of the river, from the soil of the river, and therefore he made mefatzi, means he made mats, so that it should not be a chatzitza, and in Tishrei, they were tovel in the Nahar Pras itself. And the Gemara in Amud Beis will explain the reason for these takanas. Starts the Gemara. Loi shavik lehu yaitzis bechutin. The first takana was that he did not allow them to go out in the Rishus Rabbim with threads through their ears. The Gemara asked Akashva, Nantanam, we learned in our Mishnah, Abonis yaitzis bechutin, that you're allowed to go out with these threads. Why did Avud Shmuel not allow it? The Gemara answers, Bante Avud Shmuel, Ditzvun and Hava. The threads that the daughters of Shmuel used were colored, so they were decorative. And there was a chash that they would pull out the threads from their ears and show it to their friends, and therefore he prohibited them from going out with it on Shabbos. The second takana was, like Shavik Lahu Gini and Gabi Adari. He did not allow them to sleep in the same bed next to each other. Lema Messiah, the Rav Huna, perhaps from the practice of Avud Shmuel would be a proof to Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna, said, Nashim Hamasoil, Zubazu, women who commit lesbian acts, one with the other, they are possible to marry a Kohen, and Rashi says this means a Kohen Gadol. Why are they prohibited to marry a Kohen Gadol? Because a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula, and Rashi says, Dulaihavye Besula Shlema. Their act of Mesoilu Zubazu is an act which makes them not into a total Besula. And Rashi and Tosis points this out as well, even though in the days of Avud Shmuel there was no Kohuna Gedol anymore, but since this was immoral behavior done derech znus, he was machmer, he wanted that his daughters should live up to a high standard, and therefore he prohibited them from sleeping next to each other, because he was worried that would lead to Nashim Mesayel Lezubazu, and therefore he wanted them to live on that high standard. Standard, and that he did not allow them to sleep in the same bed together. Tosfos goes further and says that it would be possible even for a Kohen Hedjit, because a Kohen Hedjit cannot take a Zoyna, and they have a halacha of a Zona, and therefore they would be also even for a Kohen Hedjit. The Gemara says, so perhaps Avud Shmuel is a Raya, is a proof to Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Loi, it's not a proof. The reason he told his daughters not to sleep in the same bed together is not because he was worried about Rav Huna's halacha. Sover, he was thinking about something else. He didn't want them to get used to sleeping in the same bed with another body in the bed, because he was afraid that they would begin, Rashi explains, that if they get used to sleeping with another person in the same bed, they would start thinking about having relations with a man, and he was afraid that that would lead them to znus, and therefore as a preventive measure he told them not to sleep together in the same bed. The Rambam, in fact, in Hilchos Asuri Bia and the Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezra Siman Chav Sif Beis, tells us that a Kohen Gadol, not like Rav Huna, they paskin not like Rav Huna, that a Kohen Gadol is mutter to marry a woman who was Isaac in Nashim HaMesayel Lezubazu, permitted to marry a Kohen Gadol. It's not a Chsorin of Besula Baam of Yikach or of a Zoyna. It's not a Chsorin. However, the Rambam says, of course, the act itself is forbidden because of the Pasuk Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim Loisasu, that a Jew is not supposed to do the acts that were done in Egypt, and this was one of the acts done there. So the act itself is Usur, but it does not make the woman and puzzle Likahuna. The final takana of Avud Shmuel for his daughters was the Avidlu mikveh b'yom Nissan. He made them mikveh. They were not able to go into Nahar Pras in Nissan. Messiah the Rav. This is a proof to Rav. The Amar Rav Mitra b'marava. When you have rain in the west, Sahada Rabba. You know what the great witness to that rain is? Paras, the Euphrates River. So in order to understand this line and also the Gemara here, we have a short Hagdama, and that is that there are two bodies of water which are connected to Tahara. One is called a Mayon. A Mayon is a natural spring which comes from an underground source, and it's a flowing stream. And the second is a Mikveh, which is a gathering of rainwater. The difference between these two bodies of water is that a Mayon is Matar Bezoichlin, even if the water is flowing, whereas a Mikveh is only matar ba'ashboirin, which means that the water cannot be flowing. It has to be stationary. If a mikveh has water that's flowing in it, it's possible for a mikveh. So Avuah d'Shmuel was worried in Nisan, which follows the winter, and you have all the snow melting, and you have all the rainwater from the whole winter converging onto Nahar Pras at one time, and that's what Rav was saying. That as Rashi points out, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael should be happy when they see the Nahar Pras. The Jews in Bavel should be happy when they see the Nahar Pras swollen, because what is it swollen from? It's on the northern border with Eretz Yisrael, and it's getting the rainwater from, Rashi says, the hills of Eretz Yisrael. So when it's swollen, it's a proof that our friends in Eretz Yisrael, our Chaverim, had rain. They had a lot of rain. That's why Nahar Pras swollen. So that's good that they had rain. But it makes a problem felt Avud Shmuel for being Toivel in Nahar Pras. Why? Because if Nahar Pras has a lot of rainwater, and most of it is rainwater, then it's not kosher with Zeichlin. Rainwater has to have a mikveh. It has to have stationary water. It can't have flowing water. You can't use it for a mikveh. So that's why he was worried. In Tishrei, which is after the summer, so then already he also agreed that most of the water was coming from the source, from the bedrock source of the river. And therefore it's not rainwater, and therefore it's a Mayan water, and it's kosher b'zoichlin. But after the winter, he was worried, and therefore he made mikvahs for his daughters in the days of Nisan because of the problem of the rainwater. Continues the Gemara. Savar shel yir bua naitma zeichlin. He was worried after the winter in Nisan. He was worried that maybe the naitfin, the water that's coming from rain, will be rave, will be more than the zeichlin, than the flowing water. And then you need a mikveh for that. So that's why he created a mikveh for his daughters. Upligi de Shmuel. And avua de Shmuel, the father, is arguing on Shmuel himself. The Amr Shmuel. Shmuel said, Nahara. The river gets more water, Mivorech, blessed, it's blessed, has more water, Michifya, from the bedrock. It replenishes itself. It's not coming. Shmuel's opinion was that you never have to worry. A whole year round, Nisan, Tishrei, doesn't matter. You never have to worry that it's coming from the rain, and rather it's coming from itself, and therefore you could be toivel in the river a whole year round. So the father was arguing on the son. Avud Shmuel was arguing on Shmuel. But, upliga the day at the day. Shmuel was arguing on himself. The armor Shmuel, Eina Mayim Etarim Bezoichlin, Ela Pras B'Yoyim Etishmul Vad. Shmuel, at another occasion, said no. He apparently at Charata, and maybe at the end, he agreed to his father, and he said that the water can only be Metar with Zoich, with flowing water, only the river Pras, the Euphrates River, when B'Yoyim Etishmul Vad, it can only do it in Tishrei following the summer, where there I don't have to worry that it's coming from a lot of rainwater, but otherwise I have to worry, like my father said, that the rainwater is roiv, and then you'll need a mikveh, and you will not be able to use the Nahar Peros. Continues the Mishnah, Poirefes Al Haven, that she's allowed to make this bulge where she fastens her cloak, the strap, onto the makeshift button. So she's allowed to use a stone, Al Egoi, as the Mishnah said, a nut, Al Hamadbeya, a coin. The Gemara asked the Kashiv, Armat Resha Parefes. So as we explained already in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah told us you can go out with it on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah said, Parefes, you can use it. And then the Mishnah concludes that you shouldn't do it l'chatchila. So the Mishnah understood that the second phrase, which said parefes alevin, means that not only can I go out with it on Shabbos, but I'm even allowed to make it l'chatchila on Shabbos. And then you turn around with the third statement, the last statement of the Mishnah, and you say that l'chatchila you should not. So it's a steer of amet resha parefes, which means the Gemara understood that you can even make it on Shabbos, not only go out with it on Shabbos. How could you say at the end that l'chatchila you should not? The sefer that says you should not go out, you should not make it on Shabbos, is referring only to one of the three things. Matbeya. Matbeya is muktzah. Don't do lechatchila. Only if you had it, you can go out with it. Mashi Enkein, Rashi explains, a nut or a stone which you were miyached, that you could even do lechatchila on Shabbos. Boy, Abai had the following question. Isha mausha ta'arem v'tifrei v'ala egos lohoitzi l'bnoa katan b'Shabbos. Her child wants to eat egois or play with an egois, and she's trying to figure out how will I her child is in the Rishus HaRab, how am I going to take it out from Rishus HaYachdus HaRab? I have a way. I will make a bulge in this garment, and the Chachamim allowed me to go out within Rishus HaRab, and then I'll dismantle the bulge and I'll take the egois and give it to my child. Could she make this harama, this trick, or not? To boil the Mandi Omer, the Bach puts in Rashi tells us that we have a machloikas further. When you have a fire, can you put on many garments on a fire, even though that's not the normal way to go out with it? Could you make that trick? The whole reason you're putting one garment on the other is in order to save it from the fire and to take it out into the Rosh HaSarabim. So there's a machlokes whether you can make such a trick by a fire. So I will have this shaila by the nut over here. I could have the shaila both according to the one who says by a fire, marimen, and I can have the shaila according to the Mandi Omer, ain marimen. To boil the Mandi Omer, marimen, why? Bidleika, hosam, hu di loy shariyislay, osil lechabuye. Over there, you know why we say don't do that trick, because, excuse me, over there, to boil the Mandi Omer, marimen, bidleika, hosam, The Eloi Shaisa, you know why we allowed him to make the trick? Because if you don't allow him to put on many begotim, we're worried that he's going to mamish put out the fire. Aval hacha, Eloi Shaisa, if you tell her, no, you can't put the nut in as a trick to bring it to your child, so her child doesn't need it. It's not a matter of life and death. It's not a matter of losing $1,000 worth of garments. So over there, perhaps he was Mater Marimin over there by the clothing because otherwise we're afraid that he's going to put out the fire. But over here, if we tell her you're not allowed to, so she'll listen to the Rav and she won't bring it to her child. Her child can live without playing with the nut. So maybe over here, the halacha is ain't Marimin, even if you say over there it's Marimin. Or Dilma, I can go the opposite way as well. I fill the Mandi Yomer ain't Marimin, even if I say by the begodim that the halacha by the fire is that I can't make that trick. Ain't Marimin Bidleika, Hossam Derechoitzovika. There, because as Rashi says, people who sell clothing many times, how will they move clothing from one place to the other? By putting on many articles of clothing one on top of the other. That's the derech to transport it. So since it's the derech, we say, Ein Marimin, we don't want you to do it because maybe you'll come to do hoitzah at another time. Aval hacha, but over here by the nut, Ein derech hoitzah bekach. Usually, where do you put the nut? In your hand or in your pocket. It's not the derech to transport it with a bulge on an article of clothing. So maybe over there, I don't have to worry that the person's going to come to do hoitzah. Ein mashaper dami. Even if I say by the fire, by the begadim, Ein Marimin, perhaps here the halach is, we will allow you Marimin. The Gemara winds up, both Sveikas, Teku, the Gemara does not resolve whether in fact a woman is allowed to do this trick to bring the nut to her child.